Before the kids start back to school on Tuesday, I want to finish up with the lesson, What About the Kids? This text comes from Mark 10, 13 through 16. It says, Jesus blessing little children. Some people brought their children to Jesus so that he could bless them by placing his hands on them. But his disciples told the people to stop bothering him. When Jesus saw this, he became angry and said, Let the children come to me. Don't try to stop them. People who are like these little children belong to the kingdom of God. I promise you that you cannot get into God's kingdom unless you accept it the way a child does. Then Jesus took the children in his arms and blessed them by placing his hands on them. I read something very beautiful recently. The Shabbat ceremony. I'm not Jewish, and I've never gone through this kind of ceremony, and I didn't even get a chance to talk to the one Jew that was in my intro to the Middle East class because he got kind of scared of all of the non-Jews and ended up dropping the class. But I found this online. And this is when the family gathers every Sabbath, just before sunset. What traditionally happens is the mother lights the two Shabbat candles. And then she makes three sweeping circular motions over the flames. And then finally rests her hands over her eyes, and she recites the following blessing. Blessed are you, ruler of the universe, who has sanctified us with commandments and who has commanded us to kindle the light of Shabbat. Then the Father lays his hands on each of his children's heads. For his son, he will give the blessing, may God make you like Ephraim and Manasseh. For his daughter, he would say, may God make you like Sarah, Rebecca, Rachel, and Leah. Why? Why would you do this every week? Why these particular people were singled out? Well, Ephraim and Manasseh, they were brothers. These are the half-tribes among the original 12 tribes of Israel. But what meant so much to the Jewish faith is Ephraim and Manasseh were known to have a drive to perform for their God, to do what was right, what was good. And that's what each father hopes that their children will choose. The name matriarchs, Sarah, Rebecca, Rachel, and Leah, they are examples of women that endured some really difficult stuff at home, or a hardship in a marriage, battling infertility, abduction, envy from other women, even difficult kids. But they had a passion, every one of them. They had a passion to love their husbands unconditionally, to respect their decisions. They had a loyalty to their God, that they were going to listen to what he said and accept God's decision. And every one of them was successful because of that surrender. And that's what the fathers are hoping for their daughters. That they would love their husbands with that same fervency, to be loyal to their God, and to raise their families in that same trust. Well, today, those of us that have kids, don't we pray for our kids? Don't we pray that our children will be well, will be protected, will grow, will continue to grow in the admonition of the Lord? A prayer that I had for my son when I was carrying him every day, and at that time I had no idea, boy, girl, or how many, didn't matter. But I said that this child, I don't care if this child is blind, deaf, dumb, crippled, or how many years I get, I just want this kid to know and trust and obey the triune God. I honestly did not pray that he would grow to be healthy and 10 fingers, 10 toes. It never even entered my mind. It was to love and adore his Heavenly Father, to know his Savior personally, and to grow in the Spirit. We want our Father to continue to watch over each of us. We want our Savior to light the way for each of us. We want the Holy Spirit to come and counsel us afresh every single day. Wouldn't it make sense that we would have that mutual fervor for the kids? Well, the parents in Mark 10, I think that's what they wanted. I think they were looking for the one person who had come to earth that would hold the greatest favor with Jehovah. Surely this Rabbi Jesus, he's the one who could release Jehovah's grace upon my kids. And that's why I think they brought their kids to him. He's the closest one to our God. Surely he speaks. He has the ear of the Lord God Almighty. Surely he has a blessing for my kids. But you have these 12 disciples who don't get it. Because, yes, they know that children have to be born in order to continue the human race. But the childhood years, they weren't considered very interesting. And they really weren't considered very valuable back then. I found an interesting article about Christian history. And it comes from the website whynottrainachild.com. It reads, people in the first century definitely had an interest in children, but when it came to childhood, it was not looked upon by the people as an important, valuable time of growth and development within one's lifespan. Unlike today, children were not seen as an important part of who a person would eventually become. But while people in the ancient world were interested in children, they were not so interested in childhood. Modern people have been taught to see childhood as a time of formation and growth, a time when a person passes through certain crucial stages of development. The ancient world was simply not so reflective about childhood and did not see human personality in the same developmental way. People in the ancient world did understand that there were certain skills that children needed to be taught in order to be productive adults, but they did not understand the different developmental stages children went through that would allow them to learn these skills. Needless to say, education of children could often be brutal and very unimaginative during the first century due to this lack of knowledge and interest in childhood. So you have these 12 looking at these kids and saying, yeah, I don't get it. What is Jesus doing with these kids? I don't see any miracles taking place. I don't see any opportunity here to proselytize. They're way too young and too unsophisticated for that. These kids are not here to receive or hear anything from us. And I don't see why the parents aren't even asking anything of us. We can answer their questions just as easily as Jesus, and then they wouldn't have to bother him. And none of those kids, Peter, you see any of those kids look sick to you? I don't think so. I don't think anybody's got leprosy around here. Gosh, I hope not. None of them look dead. And I hope none of them are demon-possessed. I mean, some of these kids are getting a little excited. I'm not sure. We'll have to watch and see. But Peter, James, John, you see that there's anything that Jesus specifically needs to do here? This is God incarnate they're sitting with. Don't they have some place they need to be? You know, God has some place he needs to be. And, you know, kids, they're just too young to be taught. Besides, who's keeping the appointment book? Don't we have 3 more stops to make today? But what I think is so amazing, the most amazing part of this story that I think most people miss, is how Jesus responds, the nature that he does. Listen to how he says it. To me, Jesus talks to the 12 as if they were 12 little boys to scold. He gives them a simple do, a simple don't, a reason why in very few words, and a warning if they disobey. Let them come. Don't stop them. They belong to me. And if you hinder them, you're out. Just like he's talking to 12 little kids. See, Jesus saw these children not only for who they were. He wasn't trying to change any of them. He wasn't trying to talk to them as if they were miniature adults. He loves them for where they are right now, at the stage where they are. In the God and Me program, the first thing that you do to introduce kids, first, second, third graders, to Jesus, you show them a picture. And this picture is Jesus sitting on a park bench. And in the background is playground equipment. And these children are bringing special toys to show him and to talk about. You see one little girl with a doll and a little boy with a model airplane. And Jesus has this huge smile on his face and wide eyes, and he's leaning in to listen to these kids talk about their toys. And your question to ask to the children that are going through this program is this the Jesus that you know? And it's amazing the responses. Not only that you get from the kids, but when you talk to adults about the very same picture, the adults are left with, no, I don't find that in the New Testament. They get so caught up that this is some kind of a paraphrase that they miss the point. Now, kids, when they hear that and when they see that picture, they're like, you mean I can talk to Jesus about my toys? You mean he'll listen like that? You mean I can talk to him about what I do at school and about my friends? And the whole point of the program is to get them sunk with the idea, Jesus is your best friend. You can talk to him like he is. He is interested in you right where you are and who you are, because he created you and he knows you exactly who you are and he loves you for who you are. But Jesus also saw these kids as a work in progress. He was also projecting an image in his mind of who every boy and girl was going to be tomorrow, next week, next month, in 5 years, in 10 years. I am so excited about what God is going to do in my kid and who he sees Sean to be when he finishes elementary school, when he graduates high school, what he's going to do after high school, who's he going to marry, what kind of kids is he going to have, what kind of a father, husband, and high priest in his home is he going to be? And something that the disciples, something that didn't even dawn on them, what if there was a little boy sitting in Jesus' lap that had a prayer request? What if there was a little girl just jumping up and down in front of him saying, I've got a question. What if one child just simply wanted to spontaneously shout out a Hosanna? Kids will do all kinds of spontaneous things. How about an opportunity? Jesus is waiting and listening to every kid. God calls sleeping Samuels. God props slave girls to hail a healing power of a prophet to a leprous soldier. God admits kids into the kingdom. And you know what? Those kids have the same powers and privileges in the kingdom as adults. That's why we have in the Bible, and I've said this before, there's no adults of God. We're all children of God. I like what Matthew Henry wrote in his commentary regarding children. He said, the mind of a child is white paper, tabula rasa, a mere blank. You may write upon it what you will. Such must our minds be. Our minds be to the pen of the Blessed Spirit. That's why Jesus spent so much time talking about following him as if a child is doing it. He says, lead. I'm leading. Come. They don't have all of these preconceived notions of how to do it. Or why. Or under what particular conditions must happen along the walk in order for it to be called legitimate. Have we just become so sophisticated in our old age that we don't need the Holy Spirit to write anything on our hearts and minds anymore? Or are we willing to be like kids, wipe that slate clean and say, teach me. I want to know. I want to know everything. Father, we thank you for the lessons that are in the New Testament regarding Jesus and the children, to help us to understand that we make your gospel message too tough. The kids have it right. There's a king. There's a kingdom. And he wants all of us to be part of it. You made us. You love us. You call us to love you back. That's it. That's the gospel. Not some flowery exegesis, hermeneutic, apologetic, episiotomy. None of that. Just you. Father, I pray for the students that are starting back this fall. Some that will be going to school for the very first time. Some that will be returning. Some that have left home for the first time and are at college. Father, I pray for a blank slate in these children so that you can write your words of encouragement, your words of salvation, your leadership upon these children's hearts and minds. I pray that they grow in you, that they don't worry so much about the academics, but they spend some time loving on you every single day and allowing you to lead their schedule and their calendar. We want the kids to take back their land too at their schools, to be role models. We know that you have the power. We ask for us to have the courage to inspire, to educate, and to model you to our children so that they will in turn do the same for their peers and their children one day. Help us, Father, to love on you as a child. In Jesus' name, amen. Your love for him grow as you do.